Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Today we would like to look at God's presence is your hope in hopeless situations. God's presence is your hope in hopeless situations. Let us pray and ask God to help us today. Our Father, what an honor to come into your holy presence today. What a privilege to hear you again today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Father, thank you for standing with your children and letting us know that you care about us. You are touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You are touched by what affects us. And you don't stop at that, but you come into our very situations and bring hope even where there is no hope. So stand with us today, strengthen your children, come round about your children, encourage your children today. Lord, we love you, we bless your name. Stay with us, give us your knowledge, Lord, give us your wisdom, give us your understanding, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. It is God's presence in your life that is going to bring about hope in very hopeless situations. I would like to begin by telling you that God knows you very well. Not only does God know you very well, but God also knows your needs. There is nothing that is hidden before God. Nothing about your life is obscured in the presence of God or before God. Nothing also takes God by surprise. Everything that you're going through, everything that surrounds you, God sees it, God knows about it. God knows and understands what faces you each day. Sometimes it's easy to go through life thinking that you're all by yourself, that God has forsaken you, or God doesn't care. That is not true. In fact, I'm here to tell you and to remind you again that God wants to help you. I want you to look at who God is and how He looks at us on a day-to-day basis and how our needs are right before His very eyes. Look at Psalm chapter 139 and let us read together from verse 7 to verse 11. Psalm 139, we shall read together from verse 7 to verse 11. This is what the Bible says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Nothing about you is hidden before God. It doesn't matter where you are today. It doesn't matter from what position you are listening or even from what geographical location you are listening to this program. Your needs, your circumstances, your situations are right before the eyes of God. And God's presence is going to bring hope in those hopeless situations. As God steps into your life to meet the needs of your life, I want to reassure you today that God's presence is going to do the unexpected. Meaning he will move in your situations, he will move in your circumstances that are humanly out of reach. Those that look humanly impossible, those that have troubled you and those that look so difficult. But God is going to move in very unexpected ways to meet your need. There was a time when Samaria, the capital of Israel, was plagued with a lot of famine during the days of Prophet Elisha. Israel had been warned that if national disobedience was going to go on, and if sin was going to be rampant, then God was going to withdraw his presence. And not only was he going to withdraw his presence, but he was going to reduce the land and all who dwelt therein to nothing but utter poverty. So prophetically, Moses had actually sounded this warning way in advance. He had told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 48, he had said, "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." As a sideline, you can see that disobedience and a departure from God is punished. God can withdraw his blessings. God can withdraw his cover and his mercy because of disobedience and because of sin. In the case of Samaria, he sent famine and he sent poverty. But the prophetic warning did not even end there. God would bring a nation that had a fierce countenance, and that nation would not respect the elderly, and it was not going to show favor even to the young. God had prophetically said that that nation would go on to plunder. It would destroy the entire land. It was going to besiege Israel right from its gates to the very high fortified walls in which Israel trusted at that time. So all the defenses around her were going to collapse. Even the gates would be taken down. And at that time, when Israel thought things could not get any worse, their ears must have tingled at what was to follow. God prophetically told them that things would get so desperate that they would actually eat the fruit of their own bodies. Meaning, the famine will be so bad in the land that they would have no food and they would turn to eat their own children. And then the enemy would also not stop at that. He would keep them so distressed and so subjected to horror that even their very own character was going to be altered. Those who had been tender-hearted, those who had been kind, they would find that because of the severity of the circumstances in which they were living at the time, they would become cold, they would become very inhuman, and they would become very indifferent. Another side note, look at that. When God withdraws his presence from a place, from a people, look at what results. There is horror, there is distress. That moves on as it continues or as it lingers on over and over. It moves on and affects even the character of those who had very strong, core values in their own lives. But you know what? Israel did not even heed that warning. They continued in sin. And so God withdrew himself from their midst. And so in the days of Elijah, he was very determined to do just as he had warned. He used a king by the name Ben-Hadad. He was the king of Syria. This king besieged Samaria and fulfilled God's words to the very letter. The Bible records that Ben-Hadad held Samaria under his iron hand until they were utterly subdued. In fact, the land was plundered, it was devoured by the sword, and basically it was laid to waste. What was once productive was total waste. And so the famine struck the land just as the prophet had prophesied. And with that city heavily besieged, the children of Israel could not help themselves. And they did not even have a way of getting out of the city to seek help because of the heavy army and the surveillances and the guarding that was taking place. The food supply went very, very low. It was so low to the extent that even donkeys, which were only animals used for work, had to be eaten. The donkeys' heads at that time were very, very ceremonially unclean, considered very unhealthy, very dirty animals, or very dirty part of an animal to eat. They were not desired. Those were not parts of the donkey that could even be eaten because they did not even have any flavor or any savor. But the Bible records that the donkey's head was sold for an exorbitant amount. The famine still continued in the land. And children of Israel were in such turmoil that they began to look for waste from the animals. They followed the droppings of their doves. Can you imagine a bird that is flying, or you have tamed it somewhere in your little corner? When it passes out its body waste, you grab that body waste, you eat some of it, but you also sell it. Even the droppings or the dung was costing an arm and a leg. The famine turned even more severe, and the prophecy came into fulfillment to the extent that even the children cooked their own Even the women cooked their own children. So they took turns cooking and serving their own children. We are talking of a very sad situation in the history of Israel. The rulers in Samaria at that time were very, very helpless. The government officials could not even help them either. In fact, people went to both the rulers and the government officials as they sought help in very, very desperate situations. But look at what the government officials and all the governors replied. The Bible records they told them, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" In other words, they were also supporting and telling the people it would take more than a man to bring hope in such a hopeless situation. But right there in Samaria, when things could not get any worse, God stepped onto the scenes and he spoke through his prophet Elijah again. Look at 2 Kings chapter 7. We are going to move through this chapter. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, the prophet Elijah came with good news and told them, "Hear ye," that is in verse 1, "hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The children of God must have stepped back and wondered, what? The entire Samaria must have wondered, from eating waste to having an abundance of food in one single day? They must have wondered, is it true that the wars are going to stop? Is it true that we are going to stop eating our own children? Is it true that God was going to come through for them again? Was God going to subdue their enemy? Was he going to bring a stop to that ridicule? Was he going to bring a stop to the shame? In fact, one of the officers of Samaria could not believe it. When they told him, he looked at them and is like, even if the Lord would make windows in heaven, that is only when this thing could happen. He exclaimed saying, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this be? Meaning, it is impossible, humanly speaking. And it is true. Many times, you will be faced with situations that look humanly impossible. And they will not just look, but you will be faced with situations that are humanly impossible to solve. Sometimes you may try A, you may try B, and you find nothing really works. But God has the power to meet your needs. God still works in hopeless situations even today. And he doesn't just work in hopeless situations even today, but today God wants to work on your behalf. God wants to come into your tough situations. He wants to help you in the midst of the struggles that are so tough, that are so difficult, to help you see that he is still God, he loves you, and he is mighty. And he wants to do it so that you can look at him and give him back all the glory and all the honor. And how is God going to do this? Just as he did for Samaria, God is going to work using very unexpected ways and means to minister to your tough situations. God used the most unexpected means to save Samaria. In fact, no one would claim God's glory. The news headlines would not bear the name of a king. It would not bear the name of anybody who was doing nothing but empty bragging. The news would only bear the name of God if they would actually put it there. It would be very clear that it was God who had done it for his people, for his own honor, for his own glory. Look at what God did. There were four hungry and desperate lepers who were sitting at the entrance of the gate. Look at 2 Kings, where we opened our Bibles, and look at verse 4. The lepers sitting at the gate wondered and said, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. You see, the lepers came to a point where they realized that they had nothing to lose. If anything, they had been left to stay out of the camp specifically to die there. Not many people cared for them. So they were left out of the Syrian camp in the midnight. They were out there by themselves. So they decided, let us go to the camp. After all, we are like dead men. If they kill us, what is the profit? We are already dead men. If they spare us, then praise the Lord, we shall live. So they approached the camp. So those men who are already as good as dead, can you imagine the kind of imaginations that were running in their mind? Would they fall by the sword of the Syrians, or were they actually going to get the food they were hoping to get? But God, who works in mysterious ways, God who works using the unexpected ways, and God who is going to step into your situation using very unexpected means, look at what he did. To their surprise, the lepers found the camp of the Syrians empty. The Syrians had fled. Look at the same chapter. We are looking at 2 Kings chapter 7, and look at verse 6. The Bible records the Syrian army had fled because for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Four lepers, as they begin to walk, that is the kind of noise God instilled within them, and that is the effect he sent to the army of the Syrians. So at twilight, the exact time that God moved on the lepers, the Syrians fled for their lives. And so they left their horses, they left their donkeys, and they left the entire camp intact. So the lepers who were neglected, those who were outcasts in Israel, those who were secluded, they ate to their fill. They moved from one tent to another. As they ate, they drank and plundered the camp of their enemy. And then something happened. All of a sudden, it dawned on them that this was a great deliverance from God. What kind of a leper would have subdued the Syrians? The Syrians were a mighty army. In fact, who in his own right mind would stand against this great army that had come to be feared in the world? This was liberation from the oppressive hand of the people, oppressive hand of these people against God's own people. So the lepers said, they said one to one another, look at verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us now. Therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." What an opportunity of a lifetime for the lepers. Those to whom no one would stop to see, no one would like to listen to, they carried these great tidings, and they would bring healing. They would be the people or the channel through whom God would bring healing. He would bring hope to an entire nation. So those who had stayed out of the camp suddenly had good news that they were going to save all the campers. So the lepers called to the gatekeepers, and then their message was actually delivered to the king. They told them, "Yes, the Assyrians have run away. They have left the entire camp. We have eaten, we have drunk, we have hidden a lot of food, and we have come to tell you the good news. The hunger can actually die today, or it can come to an end today." But the king was hesitant. Look at what he said in verse 12 of the same chapter, chapter 7. "I will show you now what the Syrians have done to us," he said. "They know that we are hungry. Therefore, are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" But the king was wrong. At the persuasion of the king's servants, this very skeptical king released several men together with a few of his chariots and a few of the horses that had remained in the city to go to the Syrian camp. So they pursued the Syrians towards Jordan, and the lepers were right. All the roads were full of garments. All the roads were full of weapons that those Assyrians had thrown as they ran away from the invasion of God into the camp. So Samaria ran into the camp and they plundered the tents of the Syrians. God is your hope in hopeless situations. God fulfilled his prophecy through the prophet Elisha, just as he spoke. In a matter of hours, God averted that great famine. The desperate state of his people was alleviated, and once again, there was plenty of food. There was plenty of wheat, there was plenty of barley, there was plenty of fine flour. Even that which had been coveted just a few days before was now sold at throwaway prices. You too are a candidate for God's power and for God's use. God has used man to fulfill his purposes through the ages. And God, who magnified and amplified the sounds of those lepers, the one who put that fierceness in them, is your God today. He is powerful, as powerful today as he was back then, and he wants to work on your behalf. Will you let him? We shall continue with this lesson as time allows next time. But as you think on that, may God richly bless you and may you allow him to work in your life.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.